Happy Sabbath again, church. Thank you, as always. Praise Team. When we get to heaven, I shall have the opportunity to join you so we can sing together. I'm surprised you all didn't challenge me that I should join you today. But I thank you again for your ministry. As always, our musicians back here, you add great value to music. And when you read about Scripture, every aspect of Scripture is about worship. At the moment, I hope you are taking the great opportunity to study your Sabbath school lesson. And not only is the book prophetic, if you had the opportunity to join us at Wednesday prayer meeting, you recognize that actually the book of Daniel is filled with worship. From chapter 1, despite the dismal experiences they have, you see acts of worship, opportunities of worship, spaces of worship. We are now going to go into chapter 4. Chapter 4 will be a testimonial worship service. And so we see all kinds of things. And so we always should take opportunity, but worship is always accompanied by music. That's how God created and wired it. And so I cannot imagine being in the presence of God when all the angelic hosts are worshiping and all the saints from all the time have come with a beautiful song of salvation. Good morning again. I thank God every day for the privilege and honor to be called His child. I thank Him for salvation. If it were not for that salvation, I cannot imagine where I would be. I have seen God carry me beyond what I can imagine. And so I don't take for granted every morning that I rise up to serve His people. And I pray that you also take that moment to appreciate. One of the dangers of sending my information early in the week is usually sometimes God will change the trajectory of your message towards the end of the week. And it happens a lot of times. And such this morning, I know I have a message titled Roll Call. But as I began to enter Thursday, the Lord began to agitate me to seek or hear another part of His message that He wanted me to share with you. So I will just tweak the message a little bit, and I'll call it today, A Minor Prophet's Major Vision. A Minor Prophet's Major Vision. Would you just pray with me this morning? Our Father in heaven, we gather once again this morning to seek your face, to feel your touch upon our lives. We came so that one more time we would get the assurance that you are with us. We came even to the prayer altar because we wanted you to lift us up from where we are. And now this moment that you speak to us, Lord, for everything that we brought, we ask now that you will allow us and give us the power to cast it aside and trust you as you we place it in your hand. You now isolate us from anything that would detract us from hearing your word. And let now the communion, the communication with heaven be crystal clear. May your word now settle deep in our hearts, not just to hear a sermon, but that when we leave here, we will be transformed and drawn closer to you. As always, Lord, as your servant, I'm unworthy. I know there are parts of my life that are still on trial. And like your people, I seek your face. So would you hide me behind the cross of Christ so that as I deliver thy holy word, that you will be magnified and glorified. We'll pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The most difficult thing to deal with is silence. Couples especially. Good morning, married couples. Have many married couples in the house? Couples sometimes, if y'all don't say anything, good morning, Sister Ruth. At least I know my wife will respond. Couples sometimes inflict upon each other the weapon of silence. when there's a breakdown in communication, sometimes couples use it as a means to secure their personal interests. Silence is a weapon of mystery. And if you're married, you know this is a very effective weapon. And it works. Well, I don't know whether it glorifies God, but it works one way or the other. And sometimes to the detriment of one partner or the other. We do not do well with silence. We are a society of noise, music, television, telephone, any device. There has to be some noise all around us. The book of Habakkuk or Habakkuk begins with a complaint, and I'm going to go there shortly. A complaint against local corruption. Habakkuk sees so injustice, violence and evil tearing the very fabric of his nation. Yet, God remained silent and invisible. Why didn't God intervene? Why was God silent? Hence, Habakkuk took his complaint to God. The book is about a conversation between Habakkuk and God. The book is an exceptional prophetic book because it is a dialogue between a prophet and God. The name Habakkuk means to embrace. The name especially carries the meaning of keeping warm when there is no other shelter. This name is appropriate for this prophet who was warned by his extended conversation with God in a vision. So if you have your Bibles with you, would you just turn with me to that very small book called Habakkuk? God embraces Habakkuk's question and in so doing embraces him. Habakkuk chapter 2, and I'll read in your hearing from verse 1 to 4. I am going to assume you are scholars of the Bible, so I will assume somewhere in your journey of scripture you had the opportunity to walk through the book of Habakkuk, so it's not a strange book to us. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 1 to 4. I want to read in your hearing from the New Living Translation. I will climb up to my watchtower and stand at my guard post. There I will wait to see what the Lord says and how he will answer my complaint. Then the Lord said to me, write my answer plainly on tablets so that a runner can carry the correct message to others. This vision is for a future time and it describes the end and it will be fulfilled. If it seems slow in coming, wait patiently, for it will surely take place. It will not be delayed. Look at the proud. They trust in themselves and their lives are crooked. But the righteous will live by their faithfulness to God. If I were to read the King James Version, it just simply says, I will stand upon my watch. And I will set me upon the tower, and I will see to see what he shall answer, and what he will say to me, and what I shall answer when I am reproved. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision, make it plain on tablets, that he may run, he that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but in the end it shall speak, and it will not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it. And then the Lord says, Behold the proud. Though they look at themselves, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Students of the Bible generally accept that Habakkuk was a minor prophet. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel are the major prophet. Today we still consider Habakkuk a minor prophet. And I often ask myself, why a minor prophet is called minor? I wonder, is it because of the brevity of their speech? I wonder if minor prophets are considered minor because of the size of their congregations or are minor prophets considered minor because of the shallow quality of what they had to say on behalf of God? Do you wonder sometimes? I wonder why they're called minor prophets. Major prophets prophesied, I found out major prophets prophesied about the future. But minor prophets prophesied to their present situations, which makes Habakkuk even more relevant for the times we're living in. Habakkuk, though a minor prophet, surely had something to say on behalf of God. He had some life-altering sermon to preach. Are you with me this morning? I bring this posture of Habakkuk the prophet to your attention in order to discuss with you that Habakkuk was a man caught in a time period of deepening spiritual depression and despair. His times were hard times. His days were bitter and his nights were long. So caustic was the Jewish social order in Habakkuk's day that a cloud of pessimism and a cloud of negativism settled on the entire nation. To rehearse the events of those days is to feel the hurt and to taste the tears which were the results of this, of their pain. The apostasy of faithlessness of former centuries had gathered strength over that time. 10 of the original tribes of Israel had been scattered among the heathen nations. Only the tribe of Judah and Benjamin now remained. And even those were on the verge of both moral and national ruin. Certainly, Habakkuk was a prophet who was keenly aware of the turmoil, terror, and tragedy of his time. Viewing the situation of the faithful people of that day, Habakkuk cried out to God with a burdened heart. In Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 1, verse 2, he says, "How long, O Lord, must I call for help? But you do not listen. Violence is everywhere. I cry, but you do not come to save." Even under the best of circumstances, it could not have been easy to be a prophet of God. With his own eyes, Habakkuk had seen the Jewish nation's economy crumble. With his own eyes, Habakkuk had seen the moral fiber of his nation fragmented. With his own eyes, Habakkuk could see his beloved country about to fall apart. With his own eyes, Habakkuk had seen unnecessary suffering. And beyond it all, that an entire people and an entire nation would be destroyed and dispersed. Though these were tough times to be a prophet. The nation had just lost the good king Josiah, upon whom the nation had placed their hope. And Habakkuk, this minor prophet, cried to the Lord and said, "How long? How long?" However, it was in the context of Habakkuk's distress and in the context of his conversation with God over this issue of how a minor prophet can preach to a major situation that Habakkuk spoke directly to God. So interested was Habakkuk in learning a word or in hearing a word from the Lord that he decided to climb up a watchtower and waited to hear what God would say, and that this is what God said. This is where we just read again. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2 to 3. I'm going to read now from the New King James Version. And this is what it says. "Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision. Make it plain on tables that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. But at the end it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry." As we prepare to go, we already began our walk into 2020. Maybe it is time to climb up our watchtowers and to listen and hear God in his silence speak to our situation. God said, write the vision. Write it so that anybody can read it at a glance and rush to tell others about the vision. read it, and then rush to tell others. There is a sense that whenever God is ready to do something, that his vision is made clear to his people. Are you with me this morning? The vision is never unintelligible. The vision is never to be in the realm of the mystical. Are you with me this morning? The vision is plain for all of God's people to see. When you come to church, you ought to know what is the vision of Christ for you and your Christian life. You ought to know what is the vision of your church as you mingle in this community, as you deliver ministry into this community. Our vision ought not to be mystical that we can't even say anything. My work, the way I work, I try to make sure that the youngest child in the church ought to understand why they come to church and the reason why they worship and the reason why they should study God's word. God said, write the vision. The difficulty is that sometimes it is hard to distinguish between God's vision and man's desirous ego. Can I talk to you for a few minutes? It is not necessary, hear me now, it is not necessary that the vision be popular. Habakkuk's vision was not popular. God was going to commission the Babylonians to attack and destroy Judah. I wouldn't want to be in Habakkuk's pulpit during that time to proclaim that kind of message. You do not want to be the bearer of that kind of news. No one was willing or ready to accept that message. It is not necessary that the message be popular, but it is necessary that the vision originated with God. Holy Ghost inspired vision. It is not necessary that the vision be sophisticated, but it is necessary that the genesis of this vision is from God, and thus give God all the glory. It is not necessary for the vision to have a unanimous vote, but it is necessary for some Joshuas and Calebs to cry out, let's go up and possess the vision, for we are all well able to overcome it. And that is why we need to be careful with visions. Now, by and large, preachers tend to be visionaries. Not only that, but the Seventh-day Adventist Church lives and thrives and is nurtured by the prophetic visionary process in its midst. This church of Bible prophecy does not exist without a vision given it by God. Apart from the divinely sent vision, the Seventh-day Adventist Church may grow, but ultimately, its growth will be stunted and arrested apart from the vision God gives us alone. What vision have you seen today? If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will heal their land, forgive their sins. It is at the chambers of prayer that we will receive our vision. When we pray, then God will move our lives. When we pray, then God will move our mountains. When was the last time you heard from God? Do we just hear from God on Sabbaths? The choice to hear from God rests with us. We must decide to meet with God at the chambers of prayer. The church may have elaborate plans and sophisticated drawings for expanded development, but genuine growth will not take place, or it will be a poor imitation of what God intended it to be if we're not prepared to be used by the Holy Spirit. Are you with me this morning? Just having church or a church building is not enough. The church must be born, nurtured, and sustained in accordance with the divine direction and spiritual insight which only God can provide, and which he has in fact given us in the Bible, the spirit of prophecy, and by the leading of the Holy Spirit. Never forget that the Seventh-day Adventist Church lives and thrives because of the prophetic guidance of God, which is called the testimony of Jesus. Write the vision. The Church of Jesus Christ is about ministry. You may have heard a lot about the spirit of prophecy and visions. And I believe the prophet or agents of the prophet have the imperative to make the vision clear. Do we have a vision here at Edmondson Heights? It is a vision that ought to be clear. It's a vision that ought to be so obvious. It is a vision that ought to be distinct, definite, and unmistakable, that everybody ought to understand what the vision is all about. And the vision of the Lord Jesus Christ is about ministry, heralding the third angel's message. So I know Pastor Exum has spent a lot of years building up this church and trying to refine our ministries and how we move forward. And we have to continue with that. We have to continue listening to God as He leads us and He navigates us in the tumultuous waters of the times that we find ourselves in. Revelation chapter 14, verse 9 to 12 says, a third angel followed and said in a loud voice, if anyone worship the beast and his image and receives his mark on the forehead or on the hand, he too will drink of the wine of God's fury, which has been poured out full strength into the cup of his wrath. And the smoke of their torment rises up forever and ever. There is no rest day or night for those who worship the beast and his image, or for anyone who receives the mark of his name. This calls for patient endurance on the part of the saints who obey God's commandment and remain faithful to Jesus. Our vision as a church is to herald the third angel's message through ministry. Ministry to the homeless. Ministry to single parents in our community. Providing support services for single parents and single mothers and single fathers. Ministry to blended families. Ministry to the physically and emotionally displaced. Our vision has to do with ministry. We cannot just be consumed in 2020 by our personal lives and jobs. We must be about the business of building the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Reaching out into the community through ministry. Inviting the community to come and watch us magnify God. Providing a nurturing environment where fellowship is fostered and the crowd becomes members of the church. Discipling our members to spiritual maturity and equipping the church to go back into the community. Vision for growth. What have you encountered in your chambers of prayer? What have you seen? Habakkuk saw a vision and he ran with it. What have you seen? Vision about Christ's ministry through Sabbath school. Sabbath school is supposed to be the hub of evangelism, bringing people in and teaching them, then baptizing them. So Sabbath school is a cornerstone of our ministry, providing ongoing Bible studies throughout the week, extending our departmental ministry to our community, ministry in the choir or the praise team, learning how to prepare people's hearts through song. That is what ministry is all about. Write the vision. Make it plain that he may run, he that readeth it. So when we come to church, the giftedness that we have, each one of us has a part that we can use in our footstool to be able to minister into our community. It's all about ministry. Write the vision. The vision is about full service. Christ-centered ministry. For every nation, kindred, and tongue. It is the prophet's job to write the vision so that those who read it may run with it. However, there is a problem. There is a problem with biblical visions from God to the church. Can I talk to you for a few minutes before I bid you goodbye? It is the problem of defective vision. The vision is for an appointed time. Defective vision never sees what God sees.
The church will always have defective vision when it becomes more concerned with what it wants rather than what God wants. We will always have a defective vision when our priorities overshadow the priorities of God. What does God want for us? Write the vision. The vision is clear, but the vision comes slowly. That we must pursue the vision of God with all deliberate speed, but not with undue haste. Habakkuk 2:3 says, "For the vision is yet for an appointed time. But in the end, it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry." The word of God says the vision is for an appointed time. If you are like me, you want things to happen yesterday. Can I get an amen out there? Amen. Especially when it comes to things of God. We don't like to wait on God. No, when I started preaching, it was the microwave was the big thing coming up. So we used to say that we're in a microwave age where you just want a few minutes, you want things to happen now. Now I don't even know what kind of age we're in. It's an instant age where things happen live. You know, they just happen right there instantly. And so we want things right now. That's how society has acculturated us. But I have bad news for you, good news for you. God still rests beyond the cosmos. God is beyond the universes. God is not controlled by our time. So no matter how much my device wants to quickly get on news, and I can get news in real time as it happens at the instant of the moment. I am sure some of you actually fact check me real time while I am preaching to find out if what I am saying is factual. So for a preacher in the 21st century, I can just show up with some things. We used to show up on those written notes and say something because someone's going to corner me and say, "This is fable. How can you prove this?" When I go to Bible study, now I have to be prayed up and studied up. And then I got to ask for the Holy Spirit to give me the ability to explain some complex issues that we used to apply some things on it that don't fly anymore. But I got to find a way to bring the vision to God. The vision is for an appointed time. We must not move ahead of God. And so we must not move so rapidly that we fail to remember that we must still be about the business of being the Seventh-day Adventist church. And not about the business of being a sanctified social club. You know, I worry about churches these days. I wish I had time I can talk here. I worry about churches because nowadays what is sometimes brought forth as gospel is about how to feel good. But when you remember the journey of your salvation and the journey of Christ, that's why Ellen White says, spend a thoughtful hour every day reflecting on the cross of Jesus Christ and what it meant. When Jesus made that long passage via Dolorosa and climbed up that hill called Calvary to Golgotha's hill, when he walked that, he chose to walk that path. He chose it so that because he looked down the hallways of time, the corridors of time, and he saw you and he saw me, and he knew that we would be displaced, and he wanted us to be part of the family of God. That was God's vision. And God's vision has not changed from eternity to eternity. We are his created children, that he will restore us and bring back us into the family of God so we can worship with the angels in heaven. We can worship with Jesus. We can worship with God face to face. And I thank God during that time, I don't have to worry about preparing a sermon. I'll sit before God and just worship him. We must not lose our vision as a church. We must be careful in this high-tech culture that our children do not forget to sing the songs of faith without a hymnal. Oops. We must be careful that we do not rely so much on technology that we forget to pray diligently. We must be careful in this age that those who join the church are not joining an impressive, well-financed, worldwide organization, but that they are joining Christ with a personal relationship. We must be careful that those who give their lives to Christ and are baptized are not being shoved through the Adventist system, but that they are being nurtured and by the saints of God. We must be careful that we are not in such a hurry to see and acquire buildings that we fail to see the blessing that accompanies the ministry in such buildings. There is a fundamental difference between the structure and the vision. The structure will be there to maintain balance and order, but the vision is there to ensure we know why we do what we do. The structure will be there to regulate the means of our ministry, but the vision will be there to eliminate the motive for our ministry. The structure will be there to ensure that all things are done decently and in order, but the vision is there to satisfy that the glory goes to God. Let me look at the word one more time. Habakkuk 2:3, for the vision is yet for an appointed time, but in the end, it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. God says that these things say now, but they will not happen right away. These things I plan. That is God speaking. The plan for the vision is not ours, but God's. The plan for the vision is not the pastor's vision, it is God's vision. The vision is not the elder's vision, it is God's vision. The vision does not belong to the church board, it is God's vision. We must recognize the vision and pursue it because it is what God wants. God will open doors for our success. And God will close doors for the successful pursuit of the vision. These things we plan, we cannot make it by our own plans. But if God plans it, I came by to let you know today, it will be all right. We will not make it if I plan it, or if the elders plan it, or if the finance committee plans it. But if God plans it, it will be all right. Well, beloved saints of God, let God plan our future and our ministry within our community. When He does, we must be ready to respond when He calls. You see, my friends, God is the architect of the universe. Let God plan it. Can you stay with me for a few minutes? It was God's plan to put the sun in the sky. Let God plan it. It was my merciful Savior that flung the stars against the bosom of the night. It was His plan to form galaxies and constellations. It was God's design to scoop up clay out of the earth and put a spark of life into the dust to form man. It was His vision, and the vision will materialize at the appointed time, but only if we let God plan it. When I read Habakkuk, I begin to feel sorry for Habakkuk. This man we call a minor prophet. I feel sorry for Habakkuk. I feel sorry for this pedestrian preacher, a minor prophet with a major vision. It is the reason I feel sorry for him. Can I tell you why? It is because visions are hard commodities to sell. Do you know why, with our truth and knowledge of the future, our churches are not busting at the seams right now? It's because visions are hard to see. Primarily, it's because we are trying to sell something people cannot see. Nobody really is in the vision buying business anyway. It seems risky business. I haven't seen, even enterprising as we are, any of us setting up business to buy and sell visions. And we can buy and sell pretty much anything, so long as we can make some money out of it. Nobody wants to bother with visions and visionaries, especially not in these, not when the economy is uncertain. It seems foolish to traffic in visions and jeopardize what we can see for something we cannot see. It seems like bad economics. It seems unwise to invest in visions when we have jobs that are uncertain. It is not wise business prudence to go in that direction and with young couples just starting out, with all the children they have to raise, just trying to barely keep up a roof overhead and provide school at a reliable cost. This is not the time to invest in visions. Or for the older folks, just trying to hold on to their hard-earned pennies so that they can enjoy the days of their retirement in peace. Nobody wants to buy visions today. I don't know about you. I know that all of us are financially burdened. And at this time, when the economy is tough on us, God has a vision for us. Can we give a faithful tithe and then support the local church budget? And in addition to that, buy into a vision. Don't they understand the tough economic times we are living in? 2 Chronicles 7:14, I already said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. What have you seen as a result of your prayer lately? We must come to the foot of the cross and surrender our lives through Jesus Christ. Then when we humble ourselves and cast our burdens upon him, when we turn over our wicked ways, then God will be able to use us fully. Then we will stop playing church and the Holy Ghost fire will ignite our communities. What have you seen? Well, beloved saints of God, I just came by to let you know today, better pastors and I have been selling something we can't see for a long time. Can I break it down as I close? Listen, you cannot see salvation. But I came by this morning to let you know it is real. You can't see justification, but it's real. You can't see sanctification, but it's real. You can't see a person's pure heart, but it's real. You can't see a forgiven life, but it's real. You can't see the fire of the Holy Spirit, but I came by to let you know it is real. You can't see the peace that passes all understanding, but I'm here to tell you today it is real. Somebody wants to know how this thing works, Pastor. That is the practical question. How does this vision thing work? I've heard enough about visions. Give me some nuts and bolts about how these things work. Well, look closely to the passage. Now I'm trying to finish my sermon here. Look closely to the passage. Habakkuk 2 verse 4. Behold, the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. You will discover that the Lord gave Habakkuk the key to the vision. He tells you how it works. The Lord says the just shall live by faith. Are you with me this morning? Ask how the vision is made real. The answer is faith. Ask how the Lord, how the young and the old will work together. I came by to let you know the answer is faith. The evidence of things not seen. Faith without which it is impossible to see God. Faith, we walk by faith and not by sight. Faith, it comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Faith to beat the unbeatable. Faith to climb the unclimbable. Faith to achieve the unachievable. Faith, all things work together for good for those who love God. Faith, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. Faith, we are perplexed, but not in despair. Faith, persecuted, but not forsaken. Faith, cast down, but not destroyed. Faith, because I know my Redeemer lives. How do I know that? Faith. Well, I must leave now. Habakkuk was a minor prophet, but when God gave him the vision, he gave so that anyone could read it at a glance and rush to tell others. What is your vision for Christ today? What have you seen from the Lord today? Let me tell you, God is not through using his remnant church. Are you with me? Are you with me this morning? Now run and go tell that. The Lord has brought us a mighty long way corporately and individually. Now run and go tell that. We are going to rise up one more time to build before the coming of the Lord. Now run and go tell that. We have a vision from God that cannot be denied. Now run and go tell that. Jesus is my God and my Savior and the Lord of the Sabbath. Now run and go tell that. One day Jesus is going to take a step out of the holy place and the most holy place of the sanctuary, and probation will close. Now run and go tell that. Jesus will descend with the clouds of glory and come to take us home. Now run and go tell that. I'm waiting for the day that God will make all things new. I'm waiting for the day that I will not have to visit anyone in the hospital anymore. I'm waiting for the day we do not have to do funerals for our loved ones anymore. I'm waiting for the day we will walk the streets of gold. Now run and go tell that. God loves you and he's waiting to bless you with abundant grace. God is waiting to save you today with open arms. Now run and go tell that. Well, my friend, we have a vision. What have you seen? What is your vision for God today? Now run and go tell that. For Habakkuk 2:3 says, for the vision is yet for an appointed time, but in the end it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Now run and go tell that. I pray that the grace of God will walk with you as you try to figure out what God wants to do with your life. As a church collectively, God has a purpose for our reasons for our existence today. And I just want to pray for someone that just wants to get clarity where God wants them to be and what God. If that is you, sometimes you've been in these murky waters. Yeah, people will say, pray. But how? I don't see anything. I don't hear anything from God. And you just want to hear God in your space. Would you just stand where you are so we can pray together? Thank you, Jesus. As much as we recognize, like Habakkuk, he had a message no one wanted to listen to. After all, it was a message that the Babylonians were coming and they were going to destroy and take them captive. Who wants to listen to that message from a preacher? And yet you had a vision, because you said while the vision is for a future, it will tarry, but it will surely come and not fail. We are here as your children at Edmondson Heights. On the cusp of this new year, we want to be more productive, more engaged, more committed. We can't do that by ourselves. So we stand now, Lord, as we come to the end of our service this morning, that each one of us that is standing, when we just kneel even for a brief moment, oh Lord, would you do just like you did with Habakkuk? Would you reveal your vision for their lives? And how that vision connects with our church here that we love and we care for? And how we will function together to help usher in the second coming of Jesus Christ as we prepare your people. I pray now that your Holy Spirit will fall upon your people. I pray now, Lord, you will empower each one of us to make a determination and a commitment this day, that we are ready to run and to tell it. May you bless your people. We've heard your voice. We want to do right. We want to be committed, and we want to be saved. May you save each one of us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you.